will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. This is the word of the Lord.
On this day when we remember the baptism of the Lord, our gospel reading takes us right to the heart of that story in Matthew chapter 3. You might recall that John the Baptist had been baptizing, and he had some very stern words for some people that came just for a show. He said, you know, you better go bear some fruit, you snakes and vipers, before I baptize you. And then he predicted that there would be another one that would come, that he would be not worthy to baptize himself. And here he comes. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Indeed, Lord, all thanks and glory be to you for this word that you bring to us. Lord, we can't understand this word in all of its depth and its simplicity, except your Holy Spirit shows us. And so we invite again more and more of your Spirit, that we might be filled with that Spirit, that the light of your word would just shine deeply in us and create a transforming power so that we look more like Jesus, not simply from having read the word, but having done the word. Here we are, Lord. Speak to us, your children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Getting across the water isn't always that easy. We build bridges to get across the water. If the bridge weren't there, well, you either have to take a ferry, so it's a boat, or you swim, or, well, you can fly over water now, but it's still, none of it is easy. Water can really stop us. It was just a little over a year ago that Hurricane Sandy made crossing the water very difficult for Pat Stewart. She decided that she could stay in her house in Ventnor as the storm raged. She had already made sure that her car was safe by parking it at a friend's house offshore. But as the water rose and her heater stopped running and an appliance began to spark, the electricity was disconnected, and there sat Pat in the cold and in the dark. We all thank God that she had a cell phone, that she couldn't power anymore, so we were very careful with using it. But that was really her only connection. And so somebody would, I would call her, and then I would disseminate the words so that everybody knew that it was okay, but please don't call her. I mean, what was in the way? Water. Across the bay, in West Atlantic City, Pastor Joe Wagenhofer was camped out at his home overlooking that serene bay. Well, it wasn't too serene. He went to the second floor, and then his Prius began to float. And finally, a boat came along that took him from his flooded home. Water is beautiful. Water is life. But water can also interrupt our lives, change our plans. That's what baptism does. Baptism changes our plans. It interrupts our plans for life and says, well, there's some other ideas here. And baptism in a Baptist church isn't a little bit of water. As we know, baptism is a lot of water here. When Jesus came to John, he came to be baptized. And baptism is about life change. Transformation begins when we receive God's calling to us, when he says, come to me, all you who labor and are overburdened, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest, but only for a little while, because I have work for you to do. I'm marking you now. And this water has the power of change in your life. I mean, think about it. Up to this point, Jesus was known as a carpenter. He was Mary and Joseph's boy. He looked after the family business after Joseph died. But after Jesus is baptized, he comes up out of the water. There's a clear change in his image. The sky cracks open. A dove descends. It lights upon him. And then we hear these words, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. My beloved Son, says the voice from the sky, not the carpenter's son. There's a change in the way we see Jesus after his baptism. Just like there should be a change in the way we are seen after our baptism. Because we are marked by something that Jesus puts some emphasis on. Righteousness. He said, permit this to happen, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Baptism is receiving the mark of God's righteousness, God's imputed righteousness. We are not righteous by ourselves. Jesus was, by the way. But he allowed this because he wanted to fulfill all righteousness. And more about that in just a moment. But baptism is the mark that we receive that declares to the rest of the world, life is different for this one now. I mean, just a few weeks ago, we saw somebody baptized, didn't we? It was a glorious moment. And it was a declaration to the rest of the world. Things are different for me now. I have received Jesus. He's living deep within me. I don't look the same. I don't even sound the same. Because Jesus now takes up residence in me. He's the boss. I'm no longer the boss. Baptism is receiving the mark of God's imputed righteousness. It's His righteousness. And that's what makes the difference. That's the glow. That's the smile. That's the light in the eyes. It's God's righteousness living in me. So Jesus says, let this happen. Permit it at this time. Did Jesus need to be baptized? No. But He did it, He says, in order to fulfill all righteousness. So what does that mean? To fulfill all righteousness. It means to become what God made us to be. To allow the righteousness of God to live in us. Jesus, by the way, was already who God wanted Him to be. His baptism simply proves that for us. Because righteousness is about relationships, working at honor and goodwill with one another and with those who are outside the walls of the church, especially those who are outside the walls of the church. We work at honor and goodwill, not shaking fingers, oh, you dirty, nasty people. No. People that God loves. That's righteousness when we regard people as people that God loves. No matter where they've been or what they've done, Jesus looked at people differently than the Pharisees did. The Pharisees oftentimes, even though they were considered to be leaders in this whole movement of God's presence, oftentimes they were very judgmental. They were big finger waggers at people. You don't do it the way we do it. Jesus says that's not righteousness. Righteousness is when we identify with people indeed. And that's what Jesus wanted to do. That was His mission, to identify with people in need. That is fulfilling righteousness. So baptism is one of the ways that Jesus fulfilled righteousness. He says, I identify with these people in need. I'm human, like they are. I have the pull of temptation upon me, like you do. I'm with you in this. And I want to be your elder brother, so to speak, to be alongside of you and to help you with the struggle of this life. That's fulfilling righteousness. Baptism for us is one of the ways that we fulfill righteousness. It's an act of obedience. It's something that God ordained that those who become Christ followers will do, because it does declare to everyone that we are His followers. It's public. As we said before, it used to be outside, you know, in a river. The Jordan River, you know, for instance. Or you can imagine that years ago, probably the Patcon Creek was the place where people from Seaview Baptist Church would have been baptized. And everybody would see you there. Well, now we've made it a little bit more humane. But notice it's still in the window. I love that, the fact that our baptistry is in a window. And the whole world can see what's happening because the curtains are open. And it's a declaration to the world. This is who I am. It's not just to the people inside. It's a declaration to the people outside as well. It's one of the beautiful things about this sanctuary. Oftentimes, baptisms take place in the darkness of a stained glass sanctuary and nobody can see in. That's the beauty of this sanctuary, is that everybody can see in. I love it. It's the way it should be. And we can see out. Baptism is an act of obedience, and we live our baptism When we serve others the way Jesus served them, that, again, is fulfilling righteousness. We protect the honor of people that are under attack. And that's dangerous. Because when somebody's being attacked, and you come and you stand alongside of them, that means you get attacked too. So when somebody is facing darkness and evil, and we stand with them, that's righteousness. And we say, I am with you. And the person who is the enemy says, then I'm against you too. Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you know, was kind of like my patron saint. I love the guy. Never met him, but I feel like I have. I've read a lot of his books, and I feel like I've communed at the same places where Dietrich Bonhoeffer communed. He protected the honor of those who were deemed undesirable by an evil government during the days leading up to and during the Second World War. An evil government said, these Jewish people, they're the problem. We got to get rid of them. And not only the Jewish people, people that are deformed, people that don't have all their full mental capacities, people who disagree with me, said the Führer. We have to get rid of them. And Bonhoeffer said, I stand with them. And of course, he became a marked man. He was living out his baptism. And we all know the story, or at least most of us know the story, that Bonhoeffer eventually was imprisoned. And 8 days, I think it was 8 days before the liberation of Berlin, he was executed by Hitler. Because Hitler said, this one is too powerful, too dangerous to live. Too dangerous for what? Too dangerous towards evil. That should be said of us, that we are a danger to evil. That's what God's heart is. That's righteousness. When James and John were asking for privilege, you know, when you come into your kingdom, can we sit on your right hand and your left hand? And Jesus says, well, let me ask you a question. Are you ready to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said, oh, yeah. He says, and so it shall be. They just didn't know what they were saying. And sometimes we don't know what we're saying when we're being baptized, do we? We don't realize that this is major life change. And this marks us with righteousness and calls us to a higher place. Jesus was always protecting the honor of the human race in what he did. Because the human race was being persecuted by evil. And for Jesus, it was costly. He was persecuted himself. They were suspicious of him. And finally they said, we have to do away with him. And they killed him. Fulfilling righteousness means sometimes we're taken out. And the enemy wants to take us out. But there's another side to all of this. And I think it's important for us to know that when we are righteous, and remember, it's God's righteousness working through us. It's not, not that I'm such a great guy. It's God's greatness in me. Righteousness brings the delight of the Father. And that's what we see when Jesus fulfills all righteousness in his baptism. We see the heavens break open, and the voice says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This brings me great delight. He's identifying with this creation. That's my boy. That's God's attitude. Evil will never reward us. Evil always brings wrath upon us. And evil is not eternal. But righteousness is. Righteousness is the stuff of God's kingdom. So when Jesus fulfilled righteousness, the Father spoke his delight. And he speaks that same delight over us. When he sees us fulfilling righteousness, when we do the thing that doesn't come naturally to us, at least from the old nature, when we do the thing that brings hope and peace and joy to others, when we love righteousness. Baptism is a very humbling experience too. When we are baptized, we really are showing our vulnerability. Most of us don't like to become vulnerable. But that's the very act of fulfilling righteousness, is that we become vulnerable to one another. And I know that that's one of the things that scares people out of the church. I don't want to be vulnerable. I'm not talking about my stuff. Well, how else am I going to grow if I don't become vulnerable? Baptism leads us to a life of humility and service, where other people become at least as important to us as we are ourselves. Jesus seemed to treat others, and remember, he's God. Jesus seemed to treat others as more important than himself. There's the goal. It's righteousness. So, baptism is not for sissies. Baptism is for people whose hearts are being stirred by the very power and presence of God. It's the stuff of getting our relationships with God and with each other in order. When we say, God, I am not God. I've been trying to act like I'm God, but God, I am not God. You are. And I bow. I die to my old self, that you might raise me to newness of life. We learn from Jesus that this life is not about us. It's about God. And it's about living our lives in a way which bring hope to others. It's about caring for the least and protecting their honor. An experience with Jesus Christ always changes me. How about it? My experience, and you know, I don't just have one experience with Jesus. It happens to me all the time. He keeps changing me. Fred Craddock, United Methodist pastor and writer, and I think was district superintendent and professor. He knew Oklahoma well, and he knew of a town in southwestern Oklahoma, and this village had only 450 people. And there were four churches in this little town. All the churches, of course, were Christian denominations, and they all shared the people of the town. Sometimes attendance was up, and sometimes attendance was down. But there was a cafe in town, and at that cafe, attendance was always up. I mean, if you've ever been in a small town, as I have been, you know that kind of the local cafe, the diner, lots of people hang out there, and there's all kinds of stuff happens on the stools at the diner. Well, many of the parishioners that never darkened the door of the church, of the four churches, did go regularly to the cafe. And the father of the faithful of that flock was a man named Frank. He was 77 years old. And he said, I have no need for church. I take care of my family. I work hard. Everything else, it's fluff. One day, A local minister in town saw Frank on the street and he introduced himself, and Frank told him very pointedly, "I'm not looking for a church." And then one day, to everyone's surprise, Frank not only showed up at church, he was baptized at the age of 78. I can imagine the talk that that brought in town. Frank must be sick. He certainly is getting older. All kinds of stories. And the preacher and Frank became friends. And finally, a few months later, the minister was talking with Frank and said, "You know, it's always bothered me that we never talked more about your baptism. You remember when I baptized you?" Frank said, "Of course." And then the minister said, "I'm sure you still work hard and you take care of your family." "That's right," Frank said. "Well then, what made you do it? Why church? Why baptism now?" And Frank cleared his throat. He says, "I didn't know before what my business was. You see, I thought it only included my work and my family. But I learned that it was to serve God and human need." At that moment, the pastor said he felt within himself that he saw the heavens open. He said, "I could almost hear the voice of God. This is my son. With him I am well pleased." You see, Frank had finally come to righteousness. There are lots of Franks around, besides the one in the pulpit. There are lots of us that think, "Well, I got this thing worked out. I do my best. I just mind my own business." But when we walk through the water, we can't mind our own business anymore, because our business is God's business. And God's business is about righteousness, about caring for people, about not worrying about how my own house is paneled, and being concerned about those that are in need. I would like to think that the heavens would crack open once again this morning here at Seaview Baptist Church, and we would see the light coming more than through the windows, but from the ceiling, raining God's presence upon us and speaking richly and deeply to our hearts as he sees the righteousness of the church. "These are my kids. I am so pleased with you." Let's pray. Lord, we would just long to see, even as we have felt, that your righteousness is filling this place. Not simply a building, but filling the individuals and all of us together. Lord, we would pray for another Pentecost in this church, when your Holy Spirit is poured out in such a way that your grace becomes indeed irresistible, and we find ourselves just covered with your righteousness. Lord, we beg you, do it. Wash away our darkness, our evil, the things which are me-centered, and replace it, Lord, with a new spirit which brings glory to you and blessing and hope to the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.